Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to our board meeting this evening. If you would you please stand while we have the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing while we have the invocation by Chaplain Dean Collins.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight and we thank you for the health and the strength that you've given us that we might come together again for this session of our Board of Supervisors. Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment, that as they make decisions that impact our community, that they would be made in such a way that our community would continue to prosper and flourish. Father, I pray that you would bless each of our county employees for the diligent job that they do from day to day. Father, I pray that you'd be with our fire department, each of their personnel. Father, be with our sheriff's department and each of them. Father, we pray that you'd be with our police. And Father, I pray that you'd watch over them, protect them. May each of our officers return home safely after their tour of duty. Bless now, we pray. We thank you for this. In thy precious name, in the name of thy Son, in thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you.
Okay, Mr. Manager, the first item of business.
Yes, Ms. Chairman and members of the board, a request is made for consideration approval of your minutes from October 23rd, 2007, both regular and special meeting minutes, which have been distributed to you.
Move the approval of the minutes.
Okay, we have a motion by Mrs. O'Bannon.
Second.
Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Manager, do you have any comments this evening?
Two comments this evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. First, Chaplain Collins had spoken to you and mentioned health and strength of Henrico County. I would tell you that during the Virginia Association of County Officials meeting, which started and ended, of course, this morning, there were a number of compliments to Henrico County on something that I'm sure that the citizens probably don't think about, but those of us in these circles do. When we had the last investiture service in the year 2003, which was for the board beginning in 2004, we indicated that this board would be serving as the longest sitting elected body in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Each member of the Board of Supervisors has been returned to office, and I think that is because of the health and strength which has been expressed by the citizens of this county in an overwhelming fashion. And so a lot of that conversation this weekend went to an additional 4 years, which quite frankly, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is a reputation and a legend that is beginning to occur because you are going to be serving an additional 4 years. You are and will be the longest standing elected body in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I congratulate each of you for your efforts, for what you've done in the past, and what you will be doing for the citizens in the future. And I thank you very, very much for your commitments.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Second item, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
We are pleased this evening to have with us the 2007 Henrico County Christmas Mother, Ms. Mary G. Child, who will update us on the 2007 Christmas Mother program. Also in attendance with Ms. Shia are two individuals that I'm sure that you're quite familiar with. This is the chair and the co-chair of the county government Christmas Mother program. That, of course, is Ms. Barbara Poole to the right, and also Ms. Lisa Orlowski, who is with the Information Technology Department on the left. So, Ms. Shia, if you'd like to come forward with these two ladies.
I'd like to thank you very much for inviting me to be here with you today. I want to thank the county for all of its support. And I thought I'd give you just a few numbers so you know what we do. I think you're all very familiar with our program. Last year we served over 1,500 families with the Henrico Christmas Mother Program, 2,600 children, 650 disabled elderly and adults. And just so you know where we are, we have taken our second day of applications, and we'll continue to do that this month, and then we're beginning to serve our recipients next month, and we look forward to these ladies especially helping us. They have tremendous energy and enthusiasm. So thank you.
Well, Ms. Poole, is there anything you'd like to say? You're never lost for words.
Young money. I'm talking
all day.
Thank you all very much.
All right, thank you.
I have no other comments this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do the board members have any comments this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to recognize some Boy Scouts from Glen Allen Baptist Church, affiliated with Glen Allen Baptist Church. Scoutmaster and parents would be Jenny Ferguson and William Butler, but I'd like to have the five Boy Scouts that are here from Glen Allen Troop 795, if you'd stand and tell me what your name is and what merit badge you're working on here. It's good to have you here, and I know you're going to be upstanding citizens within your community, and you'll be working towards your Eagle Scout. Is that correct? Good.
Very good.
Almost without fail, seems like every board meeting, we always have Boy Scouts in the audience, and we always like to recognize them. Are there any that we might have missed that might be out there? If you are, would you just please stand? Okay. All right. Any other comments from board members? Okay. At this time, we'd like to recognize the news media that covers our meeting this evening. And with us from the Richmond Times-Dispatch is Will Jones. Will, good to have you with us this evening. Thank you. All right, Mr. Manager, I think we'll go into presentations then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. The first item is an item 367-07. This is a resolution of commendation. This is for the 2007 Tuckahoe Softball Little League 10 and 11-year-old All-Stars from the Tuckahoe Magisterial District. A motion would be in order prior to presentation.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
We'll now have a presentation at the podium. I will ask Ms. Patricia S. O'Bannon, the Tuckahoe District Supervisor, to proceed to the podium. In presentation, I'm going to ask Mr. Ken Hershaw, who is the manager, and Coach Randy Doggett, who also serves as Vice President of Softball on the Tuckahoe Little League Board of Directors. Also, Mr. Dave Newton, past President of Tuckahoe Little League Incorporated and a representative of Tuckahoe Sports Incorporated, and a number of team players who will be introduced during the presentation, if you would all come forward.
This is a resolution of commendation for the 2007 Tuckahoe Softball Little League 10 and 11-year-old All-Stars. Whereas the 2007 Tuckahoe Softball Little League 10 and 11-year-old All-Star team captured the District 5 Championship of the 10 to 11-year-old division and the Virginia State Championship, the 10 to 11-year-old division, and whereas their winning record has brought honor and distinction to the coaches and players of the Tuckahoe Little League program, the parents, and the Henrico community, and whereas the team players, might want to raise your hand, Connor Bechtel, where's Connor? Okay. Sammy Bootwright, Caitlin Daughtry, Jennifer Doggett, Kaylin Hartless, Beth Henshaw, Lauren Yetzi, Micah Kingston, she's not here, Allie O'Dell, Emily Reebok, Bethany Stevens, Natalie Shuri, Dana Walensky, are enthusiastic representatives of a winning softball team and have set an example of what is good in young people today on our playing fields and courts of competition, thereby earning the respect of and support of their community. And whereas manager Ken Henshaw, coach John Yetzi, and coach Randy Doggett have served as effective and enthusiastic mentors, motivators, and instructors in challenging their players to reach their fullest potential as athletes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors of the County of Henrico, Virginia, hereby orders this resolution spread upon the minutes of this meeting and copies presented to the president, coaches, and players of the Tuckahoe Softball Little League 10 to 11-year-old All-Star Team as a salute to the team and commendation to the parents and coaches who encourage and support these young athletes. And it's signed by our chairman, James B. Donati, and attested to by our clerk, Barry Lawrence, and we have copies for everyone. This is really exciting, and you've brought great honor to our county. Thank you very much. We appreciate your work, and your hard work, drive, and athletic ability. Thank you.
My name is Sammy Bootwright, and I'm representing the team. And my name is Beth Henshaw, and I am representing the team with Sammy. Well, we're very proud to the resolution, and thank you. And our team, like, it was really exciting for us, and it was probably one of the best experiences for most of us. Well, it was for me, and so, yeah. And our team, like, we had one downtime, but we stuck together, and we pulled through and won, and it was great. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Dad.
Chairman, members of the board, we now move into appointments for this evening. You have two papers for consideration. The first is 368-07. This is a resolution for appointment of members to the Board of Directors of the Economic Development Authority. The paper before you would appoint an individual for a four-year term expiring on November 13th in the year 2011, thereafter when their successors shall have been appointed and qualified. We do not have a name for the Three Chop District at this point in time. However, this paper would give consideration in the Verona District for Mr. John M. Steele. The motion would be in order.
Okay. Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. I think Mr. Steele is here.
Yes.
Steele, would you like to come forward and be sworn in, please?
I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 369-07. This is a resolution. This is for appointment of members to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission. This paper would appoint one individual to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission for an unexpired term ending on December 31st in the year 2008 or thereafter when his successor shall have been appointed and qualified. And that would be from the Three Chop District, Mr. Charles E. Sowers. The paper would also appoint an individual to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee for an unexpired term ending December 31st of this year from the Brooklyn District, although I do not have a name this evening, and I'm assuming that there will not be an appointment in the Brooklyn District this evening. So a motion would be in order.
Move the resolution.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Please, folks present, if you would please come down.
Chairman, members of the board, we move into your public hearing agenda for this evening. As we begin, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, there have been several requests for deferral this evening. I will announce those first for your consideration. The first item is the first item on the agenda. It is 346-07, being C-48C-07 in the Brooklyn District. It's Cadence Capital Investments. It is a request to conditionally rezone from R3, one family residence district, to B2C, business district conditional, approximately 1.4 acres, located at the northwest quadrant of the intersection of Staples Mill Road and Old Staples Mill Road. The request has been made to defer this item until December the 11th.
Mr. Chairman, I want to see if there's any opposition to...
This is a public hearing. Is anyone in the audience in opposition to the deferral of this case?
Hearing no opposition, I move we follow the recommendation or the request of the applicant and defer the case until December the 11th.
Second. Okay.
Motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The case is deferred.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, actually two companion cases. It is the second item on your agenda, 370-07, being C-52C-07 in the Verona District. This is Gray Land and Development Company, Tree Hill. It is a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District and M2 General Industrial District to UMUC, Urban Mixed Use District Conditional. Approximately 531 acres located between the James River and the west line of Osborne Turnpike and Old Osborne Turnpike. Request has been made to defer this item until the 27th of November.
Anyone in the audience in opposition to the deferral of this case? Seeing none, the motion would be in order to defer it until November the 27th.
Move that be deferred, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Caffey, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, a companion case being 371-07, being P-17-07. This is Gray Land and Development Corporation. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code related to the master plan for the town of Tree Hill Urban Mixed Use Development. Request is made also to defer this item, a companion case, until November 27th.
What date?
November 27th.
Same as the other.
22nd.
Public hearing. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak or in opposition to the deferral of this case?
Seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, I move this provisional use permit be deferred to November 27th meeting.
Second. Okay. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case is deferred.
Mr. Chairman, I had understood that there was another consideration for a zoning case being 372-07, Mr. Cackley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On my recommendation, I'm asking this case be deferred until December 11th. Case in pretty good shape. There are a few details, and another meeting needs to be held with the citizens. And so, would you see if anybody objects to that?
Okay. Anyone objects to the deferral of this case?
This is the Attic property, or Attic Properties, a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture to R3C, One Family Residence District Conditional. Approximately 34.9 acres located between the terminus of Apaca Lane and the Chickahominy River. It's designated as C-46C-07.
And the applicant's in compliance, and I think a meeting's already been scheduled. All right, seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, move the case be deferred until our December 11th meeting.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case deferred.
Mr. Chairman, as a simple point of order, we move down to your other public hearing items. The next item, which also would go with the Tree Hill case, is 376-07. This is a resolution to amend the Henrico 2010 land use plan to designate Tree Hill Farm site as an urban mixed-use development. This item would obviously need to be deferred for consideration of the other two items.
Same date?
Yes, sir. 11/27, November 27th.
Okay. Right. Anyone in the audience in opposition to the deferral of this case? Seeing none, the motion be in order.
I move the case be deferred, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case deferred.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, returning to now what is the first item on your public hearing agenda this evening, that being 232-07, being P-6-06 in the Verona District. This is Ann Leonard Harris. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code for to operate a bed and breakfast inn located at the terminus of Equestrian Way in the Paddock Subdivision. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors deny this request. Mr. Silver.
Yes, sir. Mr. Manager, members of the board, this request is to permit the operation of a bed and breakfast on the property known as the Shaw House. The subject site is zoned R3 and is located approximately 500 feet east of Osborne Turnpike. The property contains 6.7 acres and is surrounded on all sides by the Paddock Subdivision, a large lot subdivision. The Shaw House is a federal-style two-story dwelling listed in the Virginia Department of Historic Resources Survey and is also included in the county's inventory of early architecture and historic places. As proposed, the bed and breakfast would include three guest suites. The main house would offer two suites, a two-bedroom and a one-bedroom, each with a private bathroom. And the caretaker's cottage would also offer a one-bedroom suite with a kitchen and private bathroom.
Andy, would you speak up just a moment while I get your mic adjusted?
Put a mic.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's not that, you. It's
okay.
We'll
adjust. In and out. Is that better? Is that
speak
better?
Up just a little bit while we
okay.
adjust it.
Sure. Be happy to.
There you go.
The applicant proposes to use the property as a standard bed and breakfast and does not intend to lease the property to groups for wedding receptions, anniversary functions, or other meeting purposes. As a part of this use permit request, staff has provided 16 conditions to further regulate the activities at this location, and these 16 conditions 15 were found in the staff report, and we have added one additional condition that's been handed out to you this evening. Some of the more significant conditions the staff is recommending with this use permit include the limiting of the number of guest units to 3 and no more than 3, prohibiting the use of the property for weddings, meetings, and other receptions, limiting the operation to not more than 2 employees at a time to run the bed and breakfast. No more than 2 meals would be served per day. The facility would comply with all state health regulations. Parking would be confined to the existing parking areas found on the property. And the one additional condition that I referred to speaks to the operation of the bed and breakfast being annually reviewed. Let me read this. Condition 16 reads, the director of planning shall review the operation of the bed and breakfast annually to ensure compliance with conditions imposed with this provisional use permit. If the director finds, based on his review, that the permit holder has failed to comply with any of the conditions or that the operation of the bed and breakfast is having a deleterious effect on the surrounding area, then the director shall initiate a show cause hearing on revocation of the permit pursuant to the provisions of Section 24-122.1B of the County Code. That is an additional condition the staff is recommending with this use permit. Staff believes that this is a reasonable use of the property, and while staff is sensitive to this being in a residential area, we believe the recommended conditions would mitigate the potential conflicts with the adjacent neighborhood. As for these reasons, the staff is recommending approval of this request subject to the conditions found in the staff report and condition 16 that I've just read. The Planning Commission, in its consideration of this request on June 15, 2007, recommended denial at a vote of 3-2. That concludes my presentation. I would be happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Any questions of board members? So, for the benefit, I noticed a lot of folks in the audience this evening. Could you maybe just explain the difference between this use permit and an actual rezoning of the property?
Yes, sir, Mr. Donati. The property that is zoned can be used for certain permitted uses, permitted by right. This particular use is not permitted by right in the zoning district. It is permitted through a provisional use permit, which requires special consideration by the Planning Commission and finally by the Board of Supervisors. It is listed as one of those use permits that require special consideration. So it is permitted by special exception or by use permit.
It is subject to revocation if some of the conditions are violated.
That is correct, Mr. Cackley.
That usually results from a complaint or something.
But you
have also agreed to an annual review of this? Sir?
Yes. There would be an annual review by the Director of Planning, and if found that the operation of this bed and breakfast is not in compliance with the regulations or the conditions that are being suggested and imposed, then we can bring it back to the Board of Supervisors for a show cause hearing. And if it's found to be in noncompliance, then the use permit could be revoked.
Thank you.
Any other questions, board members? Do we have any other bed and breakfasts in the county, Mr. Silver?
Yes, sir, Mr. Donati. We do have two. We have one, it's called the Cliff Inn, and another one that was approved at the Mannequin Mansion. Those are only two bed and breakfasts that we have in the county. They were both approved by way of a use permit.
same way. Have we had any problems with those and living up to the conditions that were imposed upon those use permits?
No, sir. When I'm not aware of any problems we've had with those, not aware of any complaints. As far as I know, they're operating in compliance with all the conditions.
Okay. Do you have the same stipulation, 16, on those other two as you're imposing on this one?
Actually, Mr. Donato, that was not imposed on the other two. This is a new condition that we're imposing in this circumstance.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Silver? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Silver.
Mr. Silver, would you state also the rationale for number 16?
I'm sorry, the rationale?
Yeah.
The rationale for?
Property number 16.
For 16? I'm sorry. Yes, this is a condition that's recommended by staff. We believe that because of the proximity to the nearby community, because of concerns that have been expressed relative to the potential concerns with this operation, we feel that it does require perhaps a special review. We feel that this would bring a secondary consideration of this use permit, and reviewing it on an annual basis, we believe, assures that the applicant and operator would be in compliance with the regulations and the conditions.
So staff is recommending this use permit? Did staff recommend?
We are recommending approval of the use permit, yes, sir.
Did you recommend it at the commission level?
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right.
But obviously, you're putting these restrictions on me. You have the ability to do that, to impose those on them.
For a use permit, the county has the ability to impose conditions. Any condition we feel is reasonable. This is different from a proffered condition. A proffered condition has to be voluntarily offered by the applicant. On a use permit, the county can impose conditions.
The Board of Supervisors can impose those conditions.
Yes, sir. Correction, the Board of Supervisors can impose those conditions. Staff is recommending.
Yeah, restrictions or conditions. Okay.
Any other questions to board members? Okay. It's a public hearing. I'm sure there's some people in the audience would like to speak. So at this time, if you would please come up to the podium and state your name, where you live, and...
Hello. My name is Hans Lohmann. I'm a resident of the Paddock community where the bed and breakfast is proposing to open up for business under the provisional use permit. I'm here not just as a resident, but as a representative of the Homeowners Association of the community. At this time, I'd also like to ask the members of the community to stand so that we can see who is here also in opposition to this provisional use permit. I'd like to add with that, too, that this is not the first time we've been here standing in opposition with this. We have been here through each of the zoning hearings, including the ones that were deferred. And we're here previously in front of the board, and once again, it was deferred. So this is a consistent and continuous opposition that has stretched literally over the course of years against this provisional use permit application. Now, I'd like to thank the board for having us here today and listening to our concerns, and I apologize if I'm influencing the microphone by standing too close and too far away. I'll try to keep it at a reasonable distance. One thing I do want to make clear is that this is not an attack in any way, and Ms. Ann Harris, who's a member of our community, we embrace her in the community, and we have, you know, personal issues with her. She's a nice lady, and we enjoy having her there. Nor is this in any way an attack on the actual structure of the Straw House. It's a beautiful structure. We enjoy having that in our community as well, and look forward to its ongoing upkeep and good standing in the community. It's very much a central point of our community. I'll direct your attention to the screen so that you get a good understanding. Here outlined in red, you actually see the border of the property in question. What isn't outlined but does exist is the border here of the Paddocks community. And as you see me trace this, you quickly realize that the property in question is very much in the exact middle, or the bullseye, if you will, of our community. And also I want to point out here that it It is very close in proximity to Osborne Turnpike, but it is not directly in any way attached to Osborne Turnpike. You have to traverse through the very core and center of our community to get to the property. So we are very much intertwined. Happily so, we're glad to have the property there and Ms. Harris there. But this kind of sets the stage for what might seem like a strange opposition to a bed and breakfast. Previously, when staff made the recommendation, and I just say staff, not the zoning committee, because as mentioned before, the zoning committee denied a recommendation and could not approve. On that particular evening, Mr. Thornton of the board was actually there and casted the third deciding vote not to approve the recommendation. So I'd like to point that out as well. With this, I'm going to speak to a couple of things, a couple aspects to help you better understand why we stand in opposition. One of the things to note is, as pointed out, the property is not directly attached to Main Road. We go through the community. The two other properties that were previously mentioned by staff are on a main thoroughfare right off a rural route or otherwise, such that there is no impact with the surrounding community. I think that is the number one influencing thing that kept such opposition arising. This is a different scenario. This is indeed a new precedence where within this county, and as stated here before, the board has a long, continuous standing here. You've been in this county, you've been in the county longer than I have, and you know through experience that when new precedents are set, that is the time to come forth and make new decisions and look at things appropriately and not necessarily based on things that are not congruent with the way things were in the past. I'm going to speak first of the quality of life. We have concerns about the impacts of the quality of life of our community. Let me help you understand how our community is. The Paddocks is a serene, quiet neighborhood consisting of one road end that connects to two cul-de-sacs, as you see here in the diagram. There are no roads through. There's no through traffic there, with the exception of Ms. Harris' house, 15 houses in the community in total. So it's a small residential area. The smallest plot is about an acre, the largest being 6.67 acres, which is Ms. Harris' plot. And on average, they're about 2 acres. As mentioned, Ms. Harris' property is literally and completely surrounded, enveloped by our community. So anything that happens there impacts our community just as equally. And here we're talking about the desires and needs of one particular household as opposed to the desires and needs of a larger community. Along the roads, as you see here, the speed limit is 25 miles an hour around our neighborhood. And you can see there's a good curvature here on the road. That's by design. That helps us keep the neighborhood private such that if you're on one end of a cul-de-sac, you don't see the other end of a cul-de-sac. That also creates a situation where if you're driving in the neighborhood, you can't see around these turns driving the speed limit, and certainly if you venture at any point over the speed limit, you really can't see. This creates a situation of potential safety hazard for us that we're concerned about, especially for those who may be coming in for the first time, seeking out a place they've never been before, following a map and wondering where they're supposed to pull in. There are no sidewalks or bike paths along this, and residents often enjoy knowing that there is a consistent and minimal pattern. A consistent and minimal pattern of traffic in the neighborhood. As a result, the children in our neighborhood run, walk, ride bikes, play ball, do all the things that children used to enjoy in a bygone era that doesn't exist as nicely today. Additionally, older residents enjoy running, walking their dogs and their pets throughout the neighborhood and feeling safe that they can do this without interference of any extracurricular traffic. The proposed business that is for applying for the provisional use permit has demonstrated no concept of embracing or improving the community in which it wants to enjoy the benefits from. The proposed business has demonstrated this repeatedly and has had years of opportunity to come forth and say, here's what we can add back to the community so that we are actually participating members rather than something that just absorbs the benefits. We have a real world concern of what happens when we bring in what I'll refer to as transient traffic coming to the bed and breakfast. The bed and breakfast itself, by definition, is not a place where people come to as a residence. It's a place where people come through and pass through. We have concerns about certain elements that might bring into the community, anything ranging from petty theft to sex offenders to any other undesirable concerns. Also, I'd like to discuss the community vision of the community itself. all of the residents of the paddocks moved to this particular section of Henrico County because of the beauty, the serenity, the quietness. Those of you who are familiar with Oswald and Turnpike know that it's not quite yet a Route 5. It's not quite as traversed as other areas. Certainly with new developments that will take place, there will be more traffic along this area, but this pocket, this back-to-back cul-de-sac, is not something that will continue to drive traffic through it, and we're interested in keeping that at a minimal. When Ms. Harris proposed having this house within the community, this bed and breakfast, she mentioned she had financial concerns. She wanted to make sure she could maintain her dream of the community she wanted to live in. We can all respect that. We all have financial issues from time to time, and we all struggle to keep our households up and safe, and certainly we don't ever do that in any way with negative impact against our neighbors, and certainly we don't do that as a single household impacting every neighborhood. If you look at the design of the neighborhood, each house either faces directly, has frontage, if you will, against the property, or is directly connected to the back of the property, or is within clear view. So there's not a neighbor in the neighborhood who has the exception of not seeing any activities that transpire at the bed and breakfast are being affected. We also have some legal concerns. When the property of Mr. and Mrs. Shaw was initially developed, their intent was to protect both their property and the property of the homeowners, as evidenced by the covenants and restrictions that were filed with the clerk's office in 1997. Said covenants and restrictions run the properties for a term of 30 years. The covenants and restrictions do not exclude the Shaw property. In fact, the Shaw property is shown right in the middle of the neighborhood plan. To reference that, I'm going to turn to the actual covenants of the Neighborhood Association. And the very first sentence of the very first line item in the covenant itself is, no lot shall be used except for residential purposes. Everyone who bought into this neighborhood, who built a house in this neighborhood, signed up for that. They signed up for the idea that this was not a commercial area in any way. This was strictly a residential area by design by the original developer who had the house prior to Ms. Harris. We've consulted some attorneys along these lines, and there are precedents within the state of Virginia to enforce such things. And I can show the hard copies of this with the board. This is fine for you all to keep as well. Stating from Duval versus Ford Leasing Development Corp., dating 1979, an implied reciprocal negative easement arises when a common grantor develops a land for sale and lots and pursues a course of conduct which indicates an intention to follow a general scheme of development for the benefit of himself and his purchases. In numerous conveyances of 750 lots, he goes on to talk about that particular one, substantial uniform restrictions, conditions, and covenants relating to the use of the property. Another reference from 1963, Monroe v. City of Lynchburg. If such a scheme of development is approved, the grantees acquire by implication an equitable right to enforce similar restrictions against the part of the tract retained by the grantor, the original property, before the development happened, or subsequently sold without the restrictions to a purchaser with actual constructive notice of restrictions and covenants. So we have precedents within the state of Virginia where we've had someone come in and develop their own property or develop a property, and they also have to follow the restrictions set forth to the Neighborhood Association, the covenant of the neighborhood itself. Before I leave, I would like to present a petition here to the board. The petition is signed by the majority of the households, with the exception of two. There are, for fairness, there are two households within our neighborhood who do not stand in opposition. One has no comment, and one is fine with having a bed and breakfast. I'd like to give this to the board. I'm not sure who received such a document. Clerk. We are impressed with our ability, with the board's desire to hear our viewpoint, and we are equally impressed with the staff's desire to put restrictions, understanding that for the first time in Henrico County, a bed and breakfast has been opposed to, understanding the reasons why, understanding the impacts to the fabric of the community, understanding that the burden then goes on the community to deal with what's going on in their own neighborhood with no benefit to them. We appreciate that. One of the concerns that goes along with that, though, even with an annual review, is the simple fact that we then become a policing agent of the activities at the bed and breakfast. So now you've taken residential families coming home to enjoy their home life who now have to keep an eye on what's going on across the street, whether it be noise impacting, whether it be traffic violations, whether it be too many people coming, going, whether there actually are events held, weddings and such, even though at this time the bed and breakfast has said that they are not interested in such a thing. Essentially, now these same group of people who have stood for years in opposition to the very idea of having this business in their community will now have to sit back and continue to grow this negative and animosity between the residents and the business itself. We're not against Ann Harris, but this will definitely raise some tensions. If something happens where the police do have to be called for noise violation or something along those lines, it's now the onus is now on us to document this by calling the police, to document this by taking notes and logging everything that's happened. At that point, we're the guardians, we're the gatekeepers of the neighborhood, which we are in the sense that it is our neighborhood, and we do know who comes in and out. There's very few families in the small community, but when you take away the aspect that we do know who's coming in and out and introduce the idea that there will be additional people coming in by design, then it even intensifies the situation where it's my feeling and the feeling of the neighborhood that if such a situation arises, we will increase negative tension. And we will be back here again in a year for the simple fact that if you have guests staying at your place, you're not going to be able to restrict every guest. You're not going to have wonderful guests always. Unfortunately, that's just the case. So then at that point, we are continuing to build animosity and opposition. With all these things in mind, we stand in opposition to the provisional use permit and ask that the Board of Supervisors listen to the recommendation of the Zoning Committee and deny the provisional use permit.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
This is a rather unusual subdivision.
Yes, sir.
And the land in the middle, is that a lot, or is that not part of the subdivision?
That is an area of contention in terms of whose opinion is truly correct. We don't, as far as I know, have any legal definition of what it is. The closest thing I've ever seen to a county statement on what it is can be viewed in today's listing, where it is actually listed, and if I still have it with me, I'll quote it for you, but you can read it right off the front where it lists the property as being in the paddocks.
Well, does it have a lot number assigned to it?
There is a lot number assigned to it. I don't think you can make it out on this particular screen. I'll try to zoom in for you. There's a lot number right there, I believe.
It describes it as R3, though. That's what... Well, that's just for the whole area.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at what appears to be the pool house there. I have seen documents where there is a number assigned to it, sir.
I had the same question. I think maybe staff can answer that for you.
Because you mentioned restrictive covenants, and I wondered if that lot was really covered by it.
Yes, sir, and that's why we brought up the cases, the precedent setting cases in the state of Virginia, where there's the implied reciprocal, such that developer has developed the community around him,
right,
set the covenants and restrictions per the community, and then is also subject, per rulings in the state of Virginia, to those same restrictions.
Okay.
And like I said, I'll be happy to share that with the clerk as well. I'll pass that document on for you now.
Mr. Peck, to the best of our knowledge, it's not a part of the subdivision. It's a parcel surrounded by the subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 6.7-acre tract that was not a part of the original subdivision.
So, okay.
A separate parcel.
That's the way it looks.
Because existing zoning is in R3.
Any other questions?
Is the existing zoning, then, of that parcel R3? Because it's showing that on your form in your package.
Yes, the R3 is this entire area, even north of there.
Okay.
Yes.
So just, I think that's what Mr. Cackley was asking.
My question is to you, is that after the sundry changes and suggestions by the staff here, is there any... room at all for reconciliation between this undertaking and the community?
The community has stood firmly for over a few years, to be realistic, with opposition for the bed and breakfast. There has been opportunity for there to be discourse and conversation between the bed and breakfast as a business and the community. As the community, we don't feel that it is our responsibility to embrace the proposed business. We don't feel it's our responsibility to work for the business to their benefit. And quite the opposite, we feel that it's the business's responsibility to embrace the community, to seek out that common ground between the community. At this point, common ground hasn't been established, nor has there been a meeting for such a thing.
So, and I hear you say, though, that there still may be a kind of void in communication
I think,
between the two parties here?
So I think the there's been opportunity for communication. Communication hasn't existed. I firmly believe, and I think that everyone who I represent here this evening would agree, that there is no common ground to be found, that we do not desire a business entity to exist in our community, no matter what the entity is. We're not singling out bed and breakfast. This just happens to be the entity that has come before us. It could be any number of things, so we stand in opposition the same way. Because it would truly change the fabric of our neighborhood. It's a residential area. It's a residential neighborhood. It's not designed to be an area for business traffic, or for business benefit.
Yeah, well, to make sure I understand you there. So therefore, what I thought I heard was, too, that maybe on the onset, didn't have the communication, the lines of communication that maybe some parties thought they should have had. But you're telling me tonight that is passé, that doesn't matter so much now. It's just,
the community isn't interested in the business, doesn't want the business there, or is firm on that, have been firm on that for years. We have attempted to incorporate Ms. Harris into our community association. We have given her the opportunity to join. Her stance was, just as was implied, that her property is not a part of the subdivision, and as such, she will not join it. She, in her opinion, doesn't have the true meaning of being part of the community to be a part of the homeowners association, not a part of the development. We have extended that to her, and we have made that offer to her.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next person to speak.
Mr. Silver, Chairman Donati, Henrica Supervisors, Mr. Hazlett, and Henrica Residents, I am Ann Leonard Harris, owner of the Shaw House at 6799 Osborne Turnpike. And I'd like to take a little bit of time to just talk to the points that the neighbors in the paddocks have made. On three occasions over the last 2 years, I have held open houses and invited the neighbors to come and meet with me and see the home, because many of them have not been inside the home. There are a few here that accepted my invitation, and I appreciate that. There are two neighbors in the community who do not stand with him in terms of opposition. I would welcome the opportunity to mediate, and after the last hearing, some mediators in the audience offered to meet with us as a group and gave both parties the name. And I spoke with Mrs. Roan to tell her, as I work with her on a daily basis, that I would be happy to meet with a mediator to try to resolve some of the issues. And truly, the neighborhood has not been interested in, you know, that mediation to take place. I would have welcomed that opportunity. But moreover, I'd like to just talk a little bit, too, and I'm going to try to flip down through my slides to get where I need to go here. If you look at this aerial view of the paddocks, went the wrong way. Okay, here we go. I don't know if I can get my arrow going. I'm a single woman who lives in the house that's situated right in this area. And for the most part, because there's a buffered hill around the outside of the property. Even though the properties face my property, we can't really see one another unless, I mean, if you see someone walking in the yard, you know they're in the yard, but you can't always tell who the person is. Because I live alone, I do have a tenant at the present time. There is maybe one or two cars going in and out of the driveway once or twice a day each day. Most of these homes that surround me have 4 to 6 cars in their driveway and many more residents in their household than I have as a single woman with a boarder. And so my point of the traffic that they suggest coming and going, if I had 2 boarders or 2 house guests that were tourists coming, the traffic that I would impose would be no more than a typical household. The other thing I'd like to show is that as you come in on Equestrian Way, the road does fork. This house, the Shaw House, was built in 1853, and this entire property, which preceded the subdivision, was Mr. Shaw's, with a straight line out to Osborne Turnpike. When he made the decision to create the subdivision that surrounds the property, he did not include himself in the subdivision. It's set aside. And I now share what was the direct access to the road through Equestrian Way. There's one driveway here that enters onto the Equestrian Way, and there's one here that the charity's own that right at the entrance of my home, which you can clearly visibly see traffic there. Traffic would stop here and look both ways before entering onto the traffic plan. But again, I anticipate only a couple extra trips a day in and out for a bed and breakfast guest. And I intend over the next 5 years to enter this business in a very slow fashion, as I intend to continue to work until retirement and build this business up slowly over the course of the next 5 years. To where I could retire and do it on a full-time basis. So this is a slow startup plan, and I don't think that the traffic that they would see would be any more than what you would see from a household, a typical household in that project. The other point I'd like to make is, and if you'll look on the in your blue folder, I received a letter from the Bed and Breakfast Association of Virginia, of which I'm a member, and there have been, out of the 250 bed and breakfasts in Virginia that are a part of that organization, there have never been any reports, criminal, regarding petty theft or any of the sex crimes that they were alluding to. If you would just pull up the zip code for 23231, there are 61 registered sex offenders in their zip code. I think we're more at risk for our children from the people who live in our own zip code than from the guests who might come to a bed and breakfast inn. I'd like to go back a little bit and just give you... a history of bed and breakfast. In Virginia, there are a little over 200 bed and breakfasts that are a member of the association, of which I'm a member. And if you look at the century, they're built in, the 17th century, 18th century. In the period 1850 to 1900, there are 38 bed and breakfasts that exist in neighborhoods. There are 26 that are in more rural areas. But by percentage, 64% of that style home is in the, or that period home is in a neighborhood. And statewide, more than 56% of the bed and breakfasts do exist in neighborhoods. Travelers who come to bed and breakfast inns prefer the bed and breakfast inn because it is a home environment. It's more cozy and warm and inviting, as opposed to a sterile commercial hotel chain. Tourists are generally middle-aged, well-educated, moderately high-income business professionals. 2/3 of the couples are married, and they're composed of empty nesters and newlyweds. The average age of the bed and breakfast are in the 30 to 39 age group, 40 to 49 age group, and 50 to 59 age group. 31% of them have college degrees. Another one-third have advanced graduate degrees. 45% have incomes exceeding $50,000 a year. The Virginia statewide median for adjusted gross income on married couples is only $50,000. The average length of stay in a bed and breakfast is 2 to 3 nights, and I understand that the maximum that's allowed in Henrico for a length of stay is 14 days. If you look at metropolitan areas as a whole, the Richmond area falls far behind the most metropolitan areas in statistics. Charleston, South Carolina has 43 bed and breakfast. Asheville has 27, Savannah 29, Washington, D.C. 31, Philadelphia 20, Newport, Rhode Island 48. And in the greater Richmond area, we have 8 all total. There are 3 in Richmond, 2 in Ashland, 2 in Henrico, and a couple in Petersburg. And so we do fall way behind the national statistics in terms of the number of bed and breakfasts that we offer to tourists coming into the area. But more specifically, in Henrico, as you noted earlier, Virginia Cliff Inn is located on Mountain Road. They have direct access to Mountain Road, but they also have a larger property, and they do corporate weddings and corporate functions and weddings. Mankin Mansion is off Oakley's Lane in Holland Springs, and again, it borders Oakley's and I forget what the other street is. But anyway, it has direct access, but they also have more property and more rooms. Mankin Mansion has 5 suites or cottages and can hold a total of 22 guests. The Virginia Cliff Inn has 4 suites and a 3-bedroom cottage for a total of 18 guests. Down in New Kent, Yasmin has 6 suites with a maximum of 12 guests, and Edgewood has 8 suites with a maximum of 16 guests. The Shaw House is a very quaint federal farmhouse that only has 3 bedrooms, and that includes the bedroom that's in the guest cottage. And so it really does not allow me to have more than 6 guests, as the county has recommended that I never have more than a 6 maximum in terms of numbers.
Is that in the house itself, 6 in the house?
It would be a 6 in combination of the house and the cottage, is my understanding of the recommendation.
Okay.
That's the total number I could have.
Do you happen to know the square footage of your home? It's a big home.
The home itself is 3,000 and the cottage is 900.
Okay.
And in closing, I just want to go to my last slide here. I do want to reiterate the zoning related to the property. This is not a rezoning of the property. My property will remain residential. If I were to sell the property at some later date, even if I had a bed and breakfast running, I could not sell it as a business. I would sell it as a resident. The residence. The provisional use permit is non-transferable, so no one else can come in behind me and just buy a business from me. They would have to start up on their own and come to you all and request another provisional use permit. So this is just something that, because I am a single woman, it gives me people that would be visiting with me, some conversation at night. It allows me to share the warmth and the rich history of the home and Henrico with the guests, and I can say to my neighbors that I was raised in a very compliant home. I work in an industry that's regulated, and I'm a very compliant person. They will not have to regulate my home because I am going to follow the conditions that are given with the permit to a T, because that is my nature. There are some people here that would like to speak on my behalf, and I'd like to turn the floor over to them for the next part of the program. Sue?
Ms. Harris, before the...
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Before the speakers come up, I'd like to ask you a question. You know, I don't know too many people that are really against bread and breakfast anyway, but how do you feel about this community around you and this communication thing here? Is there any type of reconciliation, as far as you're concerned, that can be done, that can solve this?
Well, I think there's room for us to work together, and as they indicated that I wasn't willing to participate in their neighborhood association, I believe my words to them was that I was not a part of their subdivision, but that I was a member of their neighborhood, and that I would love to, whatever projects or things they wanted to work on, to be a part of that. I would work hand in hand with them on the neighborhood projects. But because my property preceded theirs in terms of the history of the property, I didn't feel like I was a part of their subdivision, and they were trying to form a very structured neighborhood subdivision, and that I wasn't necessarily in favor of doing that, because the intent, as they expressed it, was so that we could come as a solidified body to oppose things in the future. And I am a person who believes I'm going to vote the way I truly feel about issues and not as a body or a group. And so, therefore, I chose not to say I would sign and join the neighborhood association. But I even offered this summer, they were looking for a place to hold their family reunion during the summer, and I said I would be happy to have them come onto the property and use the pool and have a pool there, property picnic there. And I did not receive any response that they would accept that invitation. So I'm willing to meet them halfway. I haven't felt the same response from them, and so I don't know where that breakdown is, but I think there is room to get over that hurdle. And the speaker that I have that wants to talk next is from the Marion Hill community, and I think she's got some great insight on how their community has embraced the Palmer House and taken that under their wing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Mr. County Manager, and Board of Supervisors. It's my pleasure to be before you this evening. I would like to say before I get started with this that I'm very proud of Verona. I'm proud of Henrico County, and I don't care who knows it. I would stand up for my county and for Verona and for my leaders in a heartbeat.
For the record, would you identify yourself?
Sue Mays, member of, my husband and I live on Marion Hill, 5913 Long Street. We've been there 34 years, and most of you, I think, have been on Marion Hill one time or another. If you're not familiar with it, Marion Hill overlooks the city and Tree Hill Farm. It's a unique area. We're really like on an island, and the traffic goes around us, which is very exciting to us because we can look down at it and don't have to worry too much about it. But we're so privileged to have Henrico County to have the Palmer House that they restored. Now, the Palmer House, as you can see, is a beautiful house, and it was built in the 1700s. It's part of our history. Chief Palatine used to live up there, so he had it before any of us died. It's a beautiful home, and Henrico County has, we're so privileged, and I would wish to say thank you on behalf of the whole county, not just Marion Hill residents. But it is so beautiful, and it is now a restored museum. We want to have people to come into our community and to see this house, to share it, to learn of our history. It isn't just history from Marion Hill or Henrico County, but from our country, our whole country. We're so proud and honored to have this in our community. I think it was October, my husband and I were away and did not have the privilege to attend the opening of this museum. But I pass it every day. Some of our neighbors are here that live right across the street from it. And we're so excited to share this with anyone, not just residents of Verano or Henrico County, but our whole state, from visitors that come to our state capital, which happens to be about 5 minutes away. We have so much in Verano, and this is where it all started, and we'd like to share it. I'd like to invite everyone to come to this museum and to see it. It's very unique. And I think it's been, when I've heard the complaints, the problems that these neighbors have, which I consider you our neighbors, this is where we were in the 1700s. We have grown today to year 2007. We've grown together as Americans. And I think it's exciting that we've learned to appreciate our heritage. And as Americans, we have grown together and worked together, and we respect each other. I'm so excited to know that this Palmer House is up there, and I'm not worried about child molesters coming. If they do, I'm just going to call Henry Stanley and see what we can do about it. But I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the traffic, the caliber of people that would come to this house. And also to the Shaw House, for the caliber of people you would be privileged to have in your home. I think it is a gem that we have in Verano. I think it is a gem that these people have in their neighborhood. And I would love to see them embrace it and be so grateful for it and be proud to have it in that community, just like we are of the Palmer House. So I'd like to urge you, when you vote on this tonight, this is like my husband and I love to go to art galleries. And we've learned when you go to an art gallery and you look at a painting, you don't just say, oh, isn't that pretty? Oh, well, I don't like that. We've learned to look at it and study it, to look at the whole picture. And I think with this situation, we need to look at the complete picture, because this bed and breakfast, I think, is a gem that we could have in Verano. I think it would enhance their neighborhood. I think it would be something special when people come from out of town, out of state. They'd have a nice, special little place to stay. And it wouldn't be that many people. I've had more people in my house than that many times. And I haven't had any complaints about the traffic. So I really hope we can be open-minded and know. And I'd like to invite all of you to Marion Hill. I'd be honored to have you. And I consider you my neighbors. And I'm proud to have you down there. My husband and I have been down there. It's a beautiful neighborhood. All your grass is cut. Your houses look good. And I want to commend you for that and invite you to Marion Hill, too. So I'd like to ask you tonight, as our supervisors, to look at the complete picture of how many people that this would attract. And thank you very much. Thank you very much. You don't mind, Mr. Ben Williams? I've been there 34 years. Mr. Ben Williams is older than me, and he's been there longer.
Gentlemen, my name is Ben Williams. I've been in Verano all my life. I graduated from Verano High School. And I, like Ms. Mays, I am extremely proud of Verano. I would be opposed to anything that I thought would jeopardize anything in Verano. I would be totally opposed to it. But a bed and breakfast is a good thing. It's something to embrace.
I did a little research, and I found out that we only have about 10 in the Richmond area totally. We have none in the East End. We have three in Charles City, a couple in Pattan, Petersburg, Amelia Goosen. And I looked up most all the towns, small towns in Virginia and counties, all have bed and breakfasts. And they seem to work out pretty well, and they seem to be proud of it. I live down near Dory Park. The reason I came that I wanted to speak, I know Miss Harris. She is a good woman. And you can believe the things that she tells you. And I'll say again that I'm very proud to be in Verona. I've been there for 60-some years. And I really would like for y'all to, when you think about this, look at the entire picture. I think bed and breakfasts is all good things. I want people to come in Verona. I want them to look at our history and our heritage. We all that have been there for years and years have always been behind the Board of Supervisors and the things that you've done for Verona, and we appreciate it. Dory Parks, I knew Mr. and Ms. Dory well when I was a young person. We had a lot of dairy farms in Verona, and we were almost all farms. So we've got growing pains now, I call it, because a lot of this land has gone away and we're building a lot of houses and a lot of people have moved in from other areas. But we kind of embrace these people. We're glad for them to come here because we want to show them Verona is a great neighborhood. And I've always been proud to be in Verona. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Nelda Snyder from Verina, Arrowheadock Trail, a member of the Verina Beautification Committee. The Verina Beautification Committee is in support of Ms. Harris's bed and breakfast. We feel it's very compatible with the Osborne Turnpike area. It is a historic area there, wonderful place for her home, and the home being a bed and breakfast is such a good use for it. It will accentuate that nice home in Verona. We think that a bed and breakfast is a good business there. My husband and I have a lot of guests. The closest space is way up on Williamsburg Road. If you have to rent motels, this would be wonderful to have a bed and breakfast right in the area. We hope you will approve this permit. We are in favor of it, and everyone I know is also in favor of it. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
They can line up if
they want to. Yes, I'd like to good evening to the Board of Supervisors. My name is Philip Downey, and I'm a resident of the paddocks. My wife and I bought our home in the paddocks. Some 5 years ago, we was looking for a place to retire. And we chose the paddocks because of the serenity, the beautification, and the privacy. That's land out there, 2 acre lots, 1 to 2 acre lots. It's 15 homes in that area. Since we've been there, I know that Ms. Harris has often spoke about the upkeep of her property. Since we've been there, just to some of the things that my wife and I have done since we've been at the paddocks, we put in a $10,000 blacktop driveway. We also had a $15,000 plastic fencing put around the property. We also did an addition to our house, which was $27,000. So we, as neighbors of the paddocks, and I can look around to all of my neighbors, and they all are doing the same thing. So we had dreams, as well as Ms. Harris, when we came to the paddocks. One of the things that I got a chance to meet Mr. Shaw and spoke with him often. And his dream, Mr. Shaw was a developer. He was an architect. And his dream were to take the property and develop it around him and to embrace the neighbors of that development. That was his dream. He had all the opportunity in the world to put a bed and breakfast in that house while he was alive. He didn't choose to do so. He chose to develop that property as a neighborhood where people could come in with a large piece of property and the neighbors could fellowship with one another. One of the things that I would just like to say initially when this whole thing came about the bed and breakfast, one of the first things, none of the neighbors was informed of a bed and breakfast coming. We all, the neighbors, all of us received a notice in the mailbox informing us that the bed and breakfast and the number of people and the business and how it was going to go about. I don't have one of the logos with me, but I think that some of the board members have seen the logos. The first logo was a Confederate flag, and that Ms. Harris talked about the statistic of the people who the audience of a bed and breakfast. I don't know who these people are, because if you're sending out that type of message, I don't know what type of people you're going to attract. The first logo was a Confederate flag, and it gave her business name, address, and telephone number, and so forth, and she passed it out to all the neighbors in the paddocks. It was very offensive. It was very offensive to me and my family. It was very offensive to the other neighbors in the neighborhood. Only after Ms. Harris was notified that she came back and she decided to put out another logo, and that logo was a picture of a black jockey, and that have a lot of history during the time of slavery. Now, I appreciate the rich history of Verona, but I'm not going to be a part of this type of history at my expense. That was also very offensive to the neighbors, and she went ahead and passed these logos out before she contacted the county or anyone else. Only after the county did the neighbors complain to the county that the county got in touch with Ms. Harris and told her that those logos that she was passing out was very offensive to the neighbors and that she needed to retract the name of her establishment. And these are the type of relationships that we have had with Ms. Harris out at the paddocks. On her third notification, she gave us an ultimatum, and that was that we would either buy into the bed and breakfast, or she would turn the shell house to a boarding house, and which that would mean weekly boarders. That was the second ultimatum. The third was that she would go ahead and develop two more houses on the property, which we agreed that that was a good idea, and we talk about, let's sit down and talk. If we want to sit down and talk, we'll be more than happy to talk with Ms. Harris on her third option as far as developing two more houses to the neighborhood. It cannot do anything but enhance the neighborhood. But as far as a bed and breakfast, we did not attend the open house. During the time of her open house, I was up doing the upkeep of my own property. And I don't feel like that any other neighbor should be forced to do something that they don't agree with. So I stand before you tonight to ask this board if you would disapprove this proposal for a bed and breakfast in Henrico County, and look at our neighbors as all of us getting along together, the whole Verona neighborhood, not just one fashion, but the whole Verona neighborhood. Thank you.
Hi, Board. I'm Mike McCabe. I'm a resident of Osborne Turnpike, 6521. First, I'd like to thank you all for the great job y'all do for our county, and I'm proud to live in it. I went through a similar situation with a similar piece of land before planning and zoning. Had a neighbor oppose. I just wanted to build a barn, and fortunately, your planning and zoning worked with me on that. But my response to my neighbors, and it was a similar piece of land this gentleman just mentioned, Ann being able to build two more houses. I believe Ann could probably get 12 houses in there if it's R3 zoning, and he might correct me if I'm wrong. So in addressing the arguments of the original gentleman that spoke, it seemed like we had the number of people when the developer developed the property. This issue of a business could not be brought forth at a later point, of which Ann Harris was not the the Shaws who developed the property. And then the idea of having people of bad moral character come and stay in the house. And I think we all know, anybody that's stayed in bed and breakfasts, the type of people that stay in those places are not, you know, what we see in the problem Williamsburg Road hotels that we have. And referencing the gentleman that just spoke, he mentioned Warren Shaw was a developer. Warren was actually a surveyor, knew Warren well. And I just wanted to correct that. In response, and I've just gotten involved in this, that any cars that would come out of the city of Richmond to this property would also come by my house. So, you know, I do not have a problem with added traffic on Osborne Turnpike. What I just heard from the gentleman, I totally understand the feelings that he would have had from what was Ann would pass out. Knowing Ann over probably 20 years, Ann supported me very strongly. When I had a business in Henrico County, she was probably one of the first Lions Club females out there, so she was a bit of a trendsetter herself in dealing with bias and that type of thing. She's now the president of the Lions Club out there. But I can understand 100% the type of feelings that they would have had in receiving this type of thing. And speaking on Ann's behalf, though, Ann would not have meant anything negatively except for representing the history of that house. Because I know Ann on two situations, she's a very good person. On the other, she's smart enough to know that she wouldn't have set that type of thing out if she thought that was to offend anybody. So I'm asking you to support this. I think I live in a 100-year-old home myself that I renovated. I think when you have people that want to take care of these type properties, you know, it's a good thing. You know, all we see is this new development coming out there, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We got one more here.
Okay. Anyone else, if you'd raise your hands, ladies and gentlemen, so we can see the number of speakers that may be forward.
There was someone back there. Would they want to stand up and get
Yeah, man. You might want to work your way on down to.
You might want to.
We don't want to leave anyone out here.
If they are going to speak, you might suggest they come on here. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of work your way around the back side there, if you don't mind. Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say my name is James Lane, and at first I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to sit back and just listen, but I felt compelled to come up here and say something because I heard, first of all, I'm in opposition of the bed and breakfast or any business in the paddock. I don't have anything against Ms. Harris. She's a sweet lady. I would do anything for her. She can call me anytime tonight. If anything I can help you, please give me a call. But the thing is that I heard from everybody that was in residence in the paddock and they was, you know, for it. But I actually live in the paddock, and I'm probably one of the oldest homes in the paddock. I've been there 10 years. And when I bought my home in the paddock, matter of fact, I bought one home and I bought a lot beside it, so I had two lots. When I bought my home in the paddock, I bought it from Dave Harris and Mr. Shaw. and I know him real well because I used to speak to him every day. And he told me what his vision was for the paddocks. And I bought into that vision. He told me his vision with the paddocks was to have it a residential area, quiet place, and it was going to be only for families and no business. And matter of fact, we had to sign restrictions and covenants for that reason. And that's the only reason why I bought into the paddocks. Be honest with you, if I knew that they're going to have a business in the paddocks, and I'm just not talking about a bed and breakfast, I'm talking about any business, I wouldn't have bought into it. But I bought into it 10 years ago, and I think Ms. Harris bought the property apart from me 2 years ago, and that's when I heard from the county they want to turn it into a paddocks. And I'd just like to say, nothing against Ms. Harris, nothing against the bed and breakfast. It's just what my vision was for my family and what I bought into, and that was to have a quiet, nice neighborhood, 1-2 acre lots to live on, and no businesses. So that's what I'd just like to tell the board.
Thank you, sir. Next person.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bob White. I live approximately a mile and a half from the site. I'm very familiar with it. I knew the Sini family that owned the property before Mr. Shaw. And I also leased property within 300 yards of this property to keep my horses in. And I would think that, and I understand these families, especially this gentleman right here, I can't remember your name. I understand your position. I really do. And But I'm speaking on behalf of the Verona District. Verona has always, and I've been living in Verona for 60 years, Verona has always seemed to have taken the back seat to a lot of the other situations regarding the county because of the agricultural area that was in and so forth. But I would think this would be an opportunity for everyone in Verona to be proud that we would have such an establishment within our county or within Verona. As you know, Verona is taken from a Spanish tobacco that was loaned by John Roth. The name Verona came from that, and it's really has a lot of heritage and a lot of history in Verona. And as far as Ms. Shaw, I do not know Ms. Shaw. I've never met her before. I assume this is Mrs. Shaw here. Ms. Harris. I've never met Ms. Harris. Spoke with her on the telephone once. But I would just like to say what has happened on Marion Hill in a very similar situation, because Marion Hill is surrounded, the homes are surrounded Mrs. Palmer's house. And I was well acquainted with Mrs. Palmer as a seventh grade teacher. She taught me or attempted to teach me. And So I've seen what the county has done up there, and it is really has added a real flavor to that part of Richmond. Also, the fact that Tree Hill Farm, once owned by the Burley family, is now under consideration for a whole lot of changes. But I would just like to say that I would think that a bed and breakfast in this area would be very effective, and with the restrictions they put on it would be very good for the community. And as far as the number of people that would be in and out of this establishment, I'm sure that there are homes within the paddock that have more activity in their home on the weekends than what this particular establishment would have. On numbers of occasions, and especially holidays, when I go to feed my horses, I can tell what's going on in the paddock area by the amount of noise and so forth coming from that area, music to speak of. Traffic, I don't see much traffic because I don't enter my horse pasture from Osmond Pike. But I'm in favor of this, and I hope the opposition understands my position that I'm looking out, or I'm speaking for the Verona District. I appreciate you gentlemen taking my time. Thank you.
Good evening. And my name is Leon Bynum, and I want to say I'm glad that you gave me this opportunity to speak. My voice is a little hoarse, so bear with me. I was the first person to buy a house in the paddocks. Now, this house that I bought, my wife and I bought it, because like you all, we had a dream about retiring in a nice place where there wouldn't be any problems. I've been in Verona District 25 years. Four of my kids have graduated from Verona High School. I pay my taxes and I vote. When I come home in the evening, I would come home in a nice, quiet place, not a place with strangers. You don't know who, because someone has a college education, doesn't mean that they won't do something devious. I mean, we have to think of that. When people die into their dreams, that's what we want. We can't stop history. People can still come see the Shaw House. It'll be right there. But when you come and you on my private time and you're a stranger and I don't know you, and I ask you a question, you may not want to answer. See, I think about things like that because it's very important not stopping progress. We're not going to stop progress. Those cars are going to come all down routes. New Osborne Turnpike, they're going to come into the paddocks. But it's different when you're coming in and going out, when you're coming in and staying somewhere. And that's what I'm opposed to. Ms. Harris, I'm not opposed to you being a neighbor. But putting a business in the center of someone's privacy, you need to think about that first. And I don't think it was thought of. I just thought someone had a dream, too, to put their dream with my dream, but they never asked me, what was I thinking about? And that's what I want you all to consider tonight. You all getting ready to retire sometime. And think how you would feel if someone was going to put something in your neighborhood that you worked hard to come into. How would you feel? Would you feel like, oh, okay, this history, I'm going to let it ride? Or would you think about it? Thank you.
Mr. Manning, come forward, sir. As the gentleman comes forward, is there anyone else who wishes to speak? If you'd raise your hand so I can see you.
Oh. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, Ms. Hazlett, Chief Counselor, I want to talk about Dan Harris for just a couple minutes.
Excuse me, but you will need to identify yourself.
Your name.
My name is Colonel Retired Bud Snyder. Live in Verina for 25 years on property that our family's owned for 75 years. Before I start on Ms. Harris, let me tell you that I'm a supporter of the bread and breakfast, and I hope you will support it also. I've spent 28 years in the military as a professional soldier and in combat, flying helicopter gunships. And through this time, and also at PMI as a commandant and PMS&T, and through this time, I had the opportunity to assess young men and young women their advancement into their careers, promotional-wise. And I think I have a good sense of evaluating people. We look at the various character traits that one has as far as dependability, loyalty, honesty, conversational skills, and they go on and on and on. And that's what you assess. And I will tell you that Ms. Harris is now a member of the Verina Lions Club, and she's currently president of the club and director of the chairman of the board of directors. I've had a chance to observe Ann during this time in her leadership role, and I will tell you, in all those character traits, she's done splendidly, very outstandingly. We always take our route to Richmond, usually going in town to the Osborne Corridor, Route 5, and then on to Main Street. And we passed the location that we're talking about this evening, and I always slow down, and I just have to take another shot at it. It's such a beautiful place and such a grand place for a bread and breakfast. And like my wife said, and I didn't beat you, I was going to come right after you, and I was going to outdo you. What my wife said was that we do entertain an awful lot. We have friends from our time in the service that come back to visit us, and sometimes there's an overload in the house, and we have to have a place. And again, we don't like to go all the way down on Williamsburg Road. And this would be a godsend. But I would like to make a comment. And I certainly apologize, gentlemen, on what Ann did. And it was dumb. Right, Ann? It was
correct.
Dumb. But I think it was not a sensitivity issue. It was just something she didn't think through. And had she done that, it would not have happened. And I apologize from everybody. But anyway, bottom line, would you please respectfully approve this bread and breakfast? We dearly need it here in Vilina. I think it'd be a big plus. Any questions? I see everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a gentleman in the back coming forward. Is there anyone else?
You need to kind of move along here, yeah?
Steve Winks. My thoughts on this issue are that Verona certainly is one of the oldest parts of the entire country. 1611, in fact, if they hadn't started building Jamestown, they're supposed to build, you know, the first settlement at the fault line. So it should have been in Verona. When you think of the history of the country, the history of Verona, there aren't that many homes in Henrico County that go back to the 1650, 1680 era. All those homes, Melvin Hill was burned, so that was the last one. When you look at homes that were built in the 1700s, there are very, very, very few that are left. And in the most historic part of Henrico County, in Verona, this is one of the few remaining antebellum homes of architectural significance. And this home is not only worthy of being recognized and celebrated, but I think it would be an absolutely wonderful facility for bed and breakfast. And we do not have a bed and breakfast in Verona. And I believe that there's only one other bed and breakfast in all of Henrico County. So if we're going to celebrate our heritage, if we're going to celebrate our rich architectural history in Virginia, this is certainly one of the houses that would qualify for that sort of treatment. And thus, if one is going to be truly interested in our heritage, we really need to do everything in our power to save and use and celebrate these lovely old structures. So we all were thrilled that Anne had decided to make this into a bed and breakfast, because that would assure that it would be in perpetuity used and maintained and celebrated. So we certainly appreciate that maybe a bed and breakfast, from some people's perspective, may not be a wonderful thing in their neighborhood. The truth is, it is the least obstructive, the least damaging use that could be brought to that property. And so, given the alternatives, I think Ann has got a brilliant plan here, and I certainly would hope that the board would do everything in its power to make sure that this property is preserved and used in a fashion that would celebrate its history. But that's all. But I would recommend, if we could, to support this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Jacqueline Thomas, and I live in Henrico. However, I do not live in Verona. But just in sitting here and listening, I really would like to make a few comments. The first comment would be those persons who stood from the Verona district, and it was a very large number of people. But I'd like to know how many of those people who stood in support live in the Paddocks community. I don't think there were any of those persons living in the Paddocks community. If I'm correct, there are 16 households in the Paddocks community. Is that correct?
That's it.
Right. And there were two households that opposed this bed and breakfast. That were in opposition to.
They did not
oppose the bed and breakfast. Right. Okay, so we're saying that the majority of the people who live within this community oppose it. And I understand the history of Verona. I know that you're very proud of it. But by the same token, these are the people who are going to have to live within the community and actually interact and have the traffic and all these other things that they've opposed and brought before you. They're the people who are going to have to live with this. I'm certain that Mrs. Harris is a very nice person. But that doesn't have anything. How does that impact upon the people who live within that community? I think those are some things you may want to give some consideration to. We're all residents and citizens of the Henrico County. I also think that, you know, everyone has a reason for doing whatever they do. When you hear citizens say that they have moved in a community because it was supposed to be a very quiet community, they thought that they would not have to deal with a business coming into the community, and regardless of the size of a bed and breakfast, it is a business. I certainly wish you would give this in consideration. As I said to you before, you know, I really didn't plan to speak, but as I listened and I observed, I really felt like I needed to come up and at least raise some of these issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you please hurry on down.
As she comes forward, is there anyone else who wishes to speak?
Okay.
This would appear to be the last speaker.
Last one, yes.
Yes.
Hudson, and I live on Austin Turnpike. And I can understand that these neighbors' opposition to grant this, but I think all citizens in Verona need to be considered, not just the people that live within the Paddocks, because we do not have a lot of accommodations there for guests, and my husband and I also are in need from time to time forget somewhere to have a guest.
Yeah.
And in fact, just this past weekend, we needed accommodations for guests, which we did not have. So I would just like to say that I believe that all citizens should be considered, not just the ones that are in the Paddocks. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
One more time, ladies and gentlemen, is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak?
Yeah.
Seeing none, Mr. Chairman.
All right. You know, this is probably one of the most difficult situations I've had in a long time. I've had some really controversial zoning cases since I've been on the board, but seems like there's always it's been a compromise. Most of the significant zoning cases that have been through the Verona District, people have been at odds, but people were willing to work together and try to come up with a solution, and I think for the most part, those solutions have been beneficial to our district. I have received numerous emails, letters, faxes, phone calls, and it's really torn me to have to deal with this, but that's why I'm elected, and I have to try to come up and make those decisions. I've met with these folks here from the Paddocks, had a good meeting at their home one evening, and I understand their concerns, and I understand it's a fear of the unknown that they are looking to experience. But I also know a lot of folks, and it's a lot of familiar faces here in the audience this evening, that have given Mrs. Harris a good compliment of her character. And I do believe that she's a lady of good character. And again, that there seems to be a request from the community that they would like to see something of this nature, especially because of the history that's associated with our community. The Clark Palmer House is a great one. That there was some some guessing that was going on when it was first submitted to the neighborhood, but I think the neighborhood finally realized that it was going to be very beneficial, and it has, and I think everyone has embraced it now. And I would hopefully like to see that this would happen with Mrs. Harris. So in saying that, I think a motion would be in order that we would give Ms. Harris the benefit of the doubt, and especially with this last this last condition that's been added to this case this evening, that the Director of Planning will review this situation every year. Citizens will have an opportunity to come and speak if things are out of hand, which I don't think they will be. So in saying that, I believe a motion would be in order to grant a request for the bed and breakfast.
All right. Mr. Chairman, and hearing the sense of concern and your expressions of all the positions expressed tonight and hearing from the community and the residents themselves, then I would move that the board support the Ryan supervisor's position and grant the provisional use permit with the conditions allowed and to keep track and keep faith with the community as this goes forward. So that's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Cackley.
Mr. Chairman, in seconding this motion, I would like to state that in the Brooklyn District, I have the Clift House, and it's been quite a compliment to the area. It is in a residential area. It has complemented it in every way that you could ever expect. The people that live in that area have their friends come in and stay there, and because of that, and because of the number of years that it's been there with that one peep of a problem, I would second the motion.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Cackley and a second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Opposed? We have a nay.
Nay.
Mr. Clerk.
Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Glover.
Aye.
Mr. Cackley.
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Chairman.
Aye. Thank you. Clerk?
I would like to just say that, Ms. Harris, I hope you will open your doors to the community and invite them to have their civic association meetings there. That would be a real nice step. And I hope the community will take her up on that invitation.
Okay. We might just take a couple of minutes break here and let everyone clear out.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we'll continue with the agenda.
Moving up to item 373-07, being C-54-07, also in the Verona District. This is John E. and Elizabeth P. Nagel. It is a request to rezone from A1 Agriculture District to R3, one-family residence district, approximately 7/10 of an acre, which is located on the east line of Forest Avenue and approximately 975 feet north of Polaris Street. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, C-54-07 is a request to rezone a 0.68-acre site to R3 one-family residence district to allow an addition to the existing single-family dwelling to occur. The site is surrounded by the R3 zone Beechwood Park single-family subdivision and A1 residentially developed lots. The existing one-story brick dwelling was constructed on the site in 1971. Although the lot by itself did not meet the minimum road frontage and lot area requirements, the house was allowed because the vacant property to the south was at that time and continues to be owned by the applicant. And the two parcels considered in total satisfied all zoning requirements of the A1 Agricultural District. The applicant is requesting the R3 one-family residence district in order to reduce the required side yard from 20 feet to 12 feet in order to construct an addition on the north side of the home. The applicant has indicated the addition would be approximately 12 feet in width, which would reduce the current side yard from 24.79 feet to 12.79 feet. The 2010 land use plan recommends suburban residential 1 for the property. The existing land use and density are consistent with this designation. The request would continue the R3 one-family residence district zoning existing to the south, and it is not expected to adversely impact the pattern of zoning and land use in the area. For these reasons, staff supports this request. The Planning Commission at its October 11th meeting recommended approval as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions for Mr. Emerson? I think it's a pretty clear-cut decision to make here. Anyone in the audience in opposition to this? Seeing none, I think a motion be in order to approve.
All right, Mr. Chairman, again, move that we follow recommendations of the Planning Commission and grant this zoning.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Cackley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 374-07, being C-56C-07 in the Fairfield District. This is Ginner Park Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses of Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District to B1C Business District Conditional, approximately 3.5 acres, located at the northeast corner of Mechanicsville Turnpike and St. Clair Lane. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, C-56-07 is a request to permit the development of a place of worship. The property is currently improved with a two-story frame dwelling known as Montezuma, which was constructed in 1910. The request proposes to develop two structures containing a total of 10,000 square feet. Submitted proffers limit the use of the property to a place of worship. The 2010 land use plan designation for the subject property is commercial concentration. The requested zoning and use would be consistent with this designation. The applicant has proffered the conceptual layout, which is in front of you now, depicting an entrance on St. Clair Lane with two buildings and associated parking. This plan indicates the existing historic 1910 dwelling would not remain. The fire within the structure earlier this year, as well as subsequent training by the Division of Fire, has left little to be restored or salvaged. The applicant has proffered these elevations, and that any building constructed on the site would be similar to these. The elevations indicate the structures will be one story in height with a pitched roof and surfaced in brick on all four sides. The applicant is also committed to providing transitional buffers along the northern and eastern property lines, as well as Mechanicsville Turnpike, a sidewalk along Mechanicsville Turnpike, preserving the cemetery on the site and limiting detached signage to monument style on a brick base. The requested zoning and use are consistent with recommendations of the 2010 land use plan. Staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission, at its meeting on October 11th, recommended approval as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer.
One question. Why does it need to be zoned?
It's a frontage requirement. The zoning ordinance in the residential and agricultural districts require 3 acres and 400 feet of frontage. In the business district, there is not a requirement for area, nor is there a requirement on the frontage. Therefore, this parcel did not meet the 400-foot frontage requirement. So that's the reason for the rezoning.
Yes, the business zoning restricts it only to this use?
They have proffered that they will restrict it only to a place of worship.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Chairman, you see that in opposition.
Public hearing. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case?
I had a question. I agree. Whenever you have a church, I'm sorry, I didn't understand why we need to do this.
The zoning ordinance
can be anywhere in any zoning. I mean,
well, it's based on the zoning ordinance. There are certain parameters that are required in certain districts for places of worship. In an agricultural district and a residential district, the requirement is 3 acres and 400 feet of frontage along a road, or 400-foot width. This property meets the acreage requirement but not the width requirement. In order for the place of worship to be built, it needed to go to a commercial zoning, which in this case did fit within the comprehensive plan designation and was a viable alternative to allow this to occur. The business zoning does not require an area or a width requirement for churches.
I didn't know churches had to fit any of the criteria. I'm sorry. And
so what is the requirement for a church? They got to have 400 feet of frontage.
Yes, in an agricultural and a residential zone, they have to have the 400 feet.
But just in general, land.
It depends on the different zoning categories.
So if it's industrial, it would still be, it'd be whatever industrial is.
Whatever the industrial requirements are, yes, sir.
Okay.
But this is the lowest level of zoning, or this is what the B1?
This is the B1, and they've proffered only a house of worship to be constructed or allowed as a use.
Okay.
Seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, I recommend that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, 375-07, being P-19-07 in the Three Chop District. This is New Singular Wireless. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the Code of the County to construct a 155-foot-high telecommunications tower and its related equipment located on the south line of Interstate 64, approximately 540 feet east of Misty Cove Court. The Planning Commission did vote to recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, this is a request by New Singular Wireless to construct a monopole-style communication tower at the Dominion Virginia Power Substation behind Shore Pump Town Center. 2010 Land Use Plan recommends mixed use for the site. As requested, P-1907 would be consistent with this designation and the county's policy preference to locate new towers in commercial or industrial areas. The tower and its 2,130-square-foot lease area would be placed in an area adjacent to the existing substation equipment. This location would meet all code-required setbacks from the adjacent parcels. As reflected by this elevation, the applicant proposes a tapered 150-foot monopole with a lightning rod extending to the maximum height of 155 feet. The applicant's antenna set would be flush-mounted at 140 feet, with space for future carriers to place flush-mount antennas at 150 and 130 feet. Because of the property's light industrial character, the proposal's consistency with the 2010 plan, and proposed flush-mounted design, staff believes this could be an acceptable location for the requested use and supports the request with the 13 conditions contained in the staff report. The Planning Commission at its October 11th meeting recommended approval with the conditions as suggested by staff. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Was there anybody at the Planning Commission that had any opposition or concern?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, see if there's anybody here tonight that might.
Oh, I think they all got home. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case?
Wow. Well, seeing the opposition, I wish to say we could find more sites like this. I believe this is the only site in my memory in the West End where we haven't had opposition, and it's a good choice. And so I'm pleased, and can you only get one on that site? That we follow the recommendations of the Planning Commission and grant this provisional use permit.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cash. Second, Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries.
Continuing on with your public hearing agenda, Mr. Chairman, the next item, 376-07, was deferred until November 27th. It is companion with the Tree Hill zoning case and provisional use permit. We move to item 377-07, resolution for signatory authority. This is for the quick claim of interest, if any, in the unimproved right-of-way for Wilson Way, located in the Verona District. Mr. Price.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, approval of this resolution will authorize the chairman and clerk to execute a quick claim deed releasing any interest the county may have in and to unimproved right-of-way across two parcels on Williamsburg Road in Sandston, owned by James M. Mayford, LLC. There are no recorded documents that convey any public right-of-way across these parcels. There is no need for public road right-of-way at this location, which is currently a parking area. And the owner has agreed to convey to the county a utility easement for the existing water line across these parcels. The Real Property Department and the Department of Public Works recommend approval of the action.
Okay. Any questions? Public hearing, anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this? Seeing none, motion being ordered.
Move the resolution.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we come to public comment time. This is the time that the board sets aside for anyone in the audience that wishes to speak to the board on anything that's not on the agenda this evening. So if anyone is here, they can please come to the podium at this time.
My name is William Smith, and I'm speaking for Dr. Spencer's too. She's not here. I'm congratulating for Frank Thorne. He saw his picture because my wife was down at the hotel, and she told me about it. I couldn't make it down there. And one thing he says, his grandma was a great asset to him. And then I'm going to say another thing about the board. I'm glad to see all of y'all back on this board. I love all of y'all. I haven't been here for 6 months. I'm up there keeping it in Maine. And I told her, she's got a new man up there now, and I told him that Henrico got one of the best candidates in the United States. I had a good friend of mine from Virginia Tech. She's retired, and I took her through this county. Each one of these districts now got lovely homes in them. I've been coming to this board for many years. I've been near 40 years. Charles Johnson, which a lot of y'all don't know, me and he was having long talks together many years ago at my house. We were told that Prime Road was going to be one of the busiest sections in this county. I blew my horn. The yellow trucks that you see come through the streets every day, I speak to them. Because they are important, too. They may not have the education, but they're important. My wife to speak to them. And she got two PhDs. And I'm glad with Frank Thorne because he said something about his grandma. And I think that the young people are in here now, but they need to listen to the older people. I went with the telephone in 1947. Wow. And that building up there was up in the Homesman Road there with my two bosses from Virginia Tech. And I met them many years ago. I'm not going to hold you all night, but I just let you know you got a good board up here. I live in a tree chop area now, where I used to live in the Frank Thorne area. Stayed there for 35 years. And a lot of people don't know this. We had 10 doctors in the PhD, he can tell you. And we came with a Jackson Award many years ago. And he did very well, both of us.
All right.
So thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you again. Thank you, sir.
But the planning board, I got that. They're doing an excellent job. Thank you, sir.
Anyone else wishes to speak this evening? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on, Mr. Manager.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, moving into your general agenda is 378-07. This is a resolution for approval of issuance of bonds. Bond Secure Health Systems Incorporated. This comes to you from the Economic Development Authority. They have held a public hearing. This is a request for your approval of the issuance of bonds in the amount estimated not to exceed $130 million by the Economic Development Authority for the benefit of Bond Secure's health system. And that includes St. Mary's Hospital.
You want to make it a little bit, do you?
Second.
All right, motion.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 379-07. This is an introduction and ordinance to participate in the John Tyler Alcohol Safety Action Program. If you recall, I did request that this item be deferred until December the 11th, 2007, due to some desires that we may wish to see if they can accommodate a movement into Henrico County rather than out of Henrico County, which is what they're now considering.
Move to defer introduction of ordinance 37907.
What date? December the 11th, sir.
December 11th, okay. Motion by Mr. Glover.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackney. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 380-07, also an introduction of ordinance. This is for a property tax exemption for Virginia Blood Services. As you will recall, I've given you information that indicates that Virginia Blood Services, which has built a new building in Henrico County, is requesting tax exemption. This will appear before you. They do meet all the requirements, and Mr. Batokas is standing there. He can refer to that.
Yes, sir, Mr. Haywood, members of the board, or Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager. This is an introductory resolution that would establish a public hearing for November the 27th. This was communicated to you with a letter from the county manager on November the 7th. The request, as the board is aware, is for would exempt Virginia Blood Services by general classification. Point of information, this request does adhere to the policy adopted by the board on November the 23rd, 2004. The county has four other such properties that are exempted by general classification, which is different than the exemption by designation, such as churches and public buildings, which is done by state code.
I guess that the whole new building is being occupied by the blood service, and so that's all exempt?
Yes, sir. The building itself is, I have that, is assessed at $7.2 million. The land that it's situated on is $1.56 million. And what you have before you in the resume, you'll see that for calendar year 2007, the request is for a partial exemption as the building was being constructed. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the exemption would be for $29,374. Calendar year 08 estimated is $76,539. Did that answer your question, Mr. Cackney?
Well, yeah, but eventually the whole building and property will be exempt?
Yes, sir. The building itself is 52,208 square feet with 7,887 square feet of warehouse area, and the whole building would be exempt.
Okay. Move to introduction, Mr. Chairman.
Motion by Mr. Cackney.
Second.
Second by?
Second.
Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 381-07 is a resolution. This is for acceptance of gift from Highland Springs Women's Club.
Yes, sir, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The Highland Springs Women's Club has graciously provided a gift of $5,000 to Henrico County to support the Division of Recreation and Parks Cultural Arts Programs and the Henrico Theater. The funds will be used to purchase two display cabinets for the Henrico Theater. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
What was the amount?
It was $5,000.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 382-07 is a resolution for acceptance of gift from the Maymont Foundation. Ms. Martin.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the Maymont Foundation has graciously provided a gift of $250 to Henrico County to support the Division of Recreation and Parks Cultural Arts Programs and Activities. The funds will be used to provide music and instrument repairs for the Henrico Community Band. The Henrico Community Band does perform at events at Maymont several times a year.
Move the resolution.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Glover.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackney. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 383-07. Is an emergency ordinance to establish mandatory restrictions on the use of water from the county's public water system and penalties of $50 for the second violation, $100 for each subsequent violation. Mr. Petrine.
Yes, sir, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. As discussed in the work session,
This modifies the existing mandatory measures that approved tonight. The key points are established landscaping, which will be allowed watering on based on the odd-even address, and new landscaping would be allowed watering, and athletic fields would be allowed watering. With those changes, we will still meet the intent of water use reduction that is required by DEQ. We recommend approval.
Have we had any violations from the previous ordinance?
Yes, sir. We've had close to 100. Yes, sir.
Were they warnings or?
Vast majority were warnings.
Warnings.
Okay. Good. All right. Any questions? Motion made in order.
Move the resolution.
Move by Mrs. O'Bannon.
This is an ordinance.
Ordinance. Sorry, I was just going back to the emergency ordinance.
Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 384-07 is a resolution. This is the award of an annual construction contract for the construction of grinder pump stations and force maintenance.
Did we talk about this last time? Did we talk about this at the last meeting?
Yeah. Yeah, he explained what it was.
Right.
He grinds it up.
Yes. Well, we don't need to go over this, do we?
No.
Move the resolution.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackley. Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 385-07 is a resolution. This is for amendment to the construction services agreement for the water treatment plant Clearwell Vent Modifications Project.
Okay. Yes, sir. This is a request because it's over at 15% for $44,750 for a change order. We had to put on a Clearwell vent to the water treatment plant, and when they were installing the foundation, they found unsuitable soils. So they have to put a foundation support system in for $38,633 and move the underground electrical conduit for $6,117, which total $44,750. And we recommend approval of this board paper.
This is to remove chlorine?
Yes, ma'am.
They says to the exterior of the building?
Yes, the board previously approved the board paper for the Clearwell vent system. Since this was not anticipated under the original construction, when they went outside the footprint of the building to put the foundation of the vent, they found soils that were not suitable to support the vent because it goes above the roof line. So they put in, I believe, 30-foot-long screw piers to four locations to support the foundation.
But I'm just reading it now, but the chlorine goes directly into the ambient air outside?
Yes, it's very minimal.
Okay.
It does not go past the perimeter of the plant.
Okay, that was always an issue with the waste, with the not the water reclamation plant, which is this, but the raw water treatment plant. That was a question that came up.
There are no chemical issues with this.
Okay, because air quality was one of the issues. Okay. Move the resolution.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon.
Second.
Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item 386-07 is a resolution to permit additional fines of $200 for speeding on Cottage Street. Mr. Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Manager, Chairman, and members of the board. This is a resolution to permit additional fine of $200 for speeding on Cottage Street in the Brooklyn District. This would run from Hilliard Road down to Dumbarton Road. I do have some maps if anyone needs to see the location of that with us. We did receive 77% of the citizens that were involved. That was out of 137, so we got a good turnout.
Move the resolution. Motion by Mr. Glover.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 387-07 is a resolution for the acceptance of road.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Move by Mr. Cackley. Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
No other items, Mr. Chairman.
Adjourned.